welcome to Aurora's Wicca Beginnings series. I am Aurora, and I'll be your guide on this empowering journey of magic, spells, and more. This series will take you through everything you need to know about the ancient secrets of Wicca, and you're about to learn how to use those secrets to tap into your own deep, strong Wicca power. You will learn how to do love spells, spells for success, spells for protection, and even how to create your own spells for anything you may desire or need. You'll learn about how Wicca is practiced today and how to find everything you need to get started living your Wicca lifestyle. Get ready for this exciting journey that will take you through the long-lost secrets of Wicca, the inner workings of your magical power, the best ways to cast spells, the history behind the broomstick, the cauldron, and the magic wand, how you can easily start performing spells and rituals of your own, and so much more. Before we begin, it's important for us to cast this first spell together. Over the course of these recordings, you're going to hear my breathing. I'm breathing to protect my energy and build a protective shield around you, around us, around my teachings. While you listen, I encourage you to breathe when you hear me breathe. Are you ready? Because you're about to access the secrets that the most powerful witches have held for centuries, and there's a reason that these things have been kept a secret for so long. They are extremely powerful. Throughout history, people have tried to suppress this ancient knowledge. The church and other religions all believe that Wicca and witchcraft are the work of Satan and that they are evil. But that is simply not true. They do not understand the true nature of what Wicca is all about. Let me explain to you the real truth about Wicca and how it works in your life. The practice of Wicca and witchcraft is very often misunderstood. Magic is not supernatural. Magic is actually one of the most natural forces out there. But because people don't understand it, or because they are afraid of it, they call it supernatural, or freaky, or fake. But magic is real, it's perfectly natural, and it has very real results when you do it the right way. Now let's define exactly what we mean when we talk about magic. Magic is the protection of natural energies to produce needed effects. Energy is flowing all around us. Magic spells and rituals, when done with the proper concentration, allow us to harness that energy to attract what we desire. There are three main sources of energy in the universe. It's important to know what kinds of energy we are talking about when we start to practice spells. The first kind of energy is personal. This is our own personal life force. We take in energy from the sun, water, food, and we release it through exercise, movement, and even as we exhale. The second type of energy is earth energy. This is the energy found within our planet. Each natural element has its own power, which can be used in magic. Earth, trees, stones, wind, fire, and crystals are some examples of earth energy. The third and most powerful type of energy is divine power. This is the energy that makes up the entire universe. This is the higher power energy or life force, whatever you wish to call it. It's the universal power source, and it's what we tap into when we perform magic. I cannot stress enough how important it is to concentrate and focus when you are casting spells. It's not just about burning some candles and saying some magic words. You actually have to mean what you say. Later on in this series, you will learn how to practice and hone your meditation skills. You will learn how to create and direct powerful energy to perform magic, and how to use that energy to summon what you desire. But for now, let's talk about the other important rule for casting successful spells. It is called the Wicca Reed, or motto. This motto is harm none. If you intend your spells to harm someone, they will create negative energy. This means they may backfire on you or have consequences you did not intend. So make sure before casting any spell that it does no harm to anyone. Otherwise, you will be playing with fire, and the results could be very bad. True Wiccans worship the god and goddess. This is just another way of saying the power of the universe, the higher power, or whatever you wish to call it. Many cultures over many centuries have found their own names for these powers. What you need to know is that Wiccans revere the power of nature and the eternal power of the universe. That doesn't mean that you have to believe in the god and goddess in order to practice spells, but you do need to be able to focus on a higher power and the power of nature. If you can do this, you are ready to go. What makes Wicca different from other religions is that in Wicca, you don't bow down to or worship a deity in the strict sense. Wicca and magic is all about working with the higher powers of the universe to create a better world, and that is a very powerful feeling. You are part of the creation process. You have the power. You are involved fully in what you are doing and getting what you want. Now that we've discovered the basics of spellcasting, let's talk about the supplies and tools you'll need to get started. Did you know that there's a reason why, in movies and books, witches always have cauldrons and broomsticks? Believe it or not, some of the symbols we associate with witchcraft, the broomstick, the cauldron, and the magic wand, are actually important parts of Wicca ritual. Even though they've been made into Disney movies and popular culture, they're still an important part of real Wicca. Most people don't know the real magic and power behind them, but you're about to find out. The broom is an important tool in Wicca magic. The broom is used to purify and cleanse the space you're going to do magic in. As you sweep, you are sweeping away any bad energy that may interfere with your magic. A classic broom is made of ash, birch, and willow. These woods are protective and purifying. Of course, any broom will do the job, especially if it has wooden bristles. Once you have your broom, it's time to find a magic wand. A magic wand is used to direct and channel energy and to evoke the god and goddess. You can use just about any fairly straight piece of wood as your magic wand. You must feel a connection. You may decide to decorate your wand, carve it, or paint it as you choose. Make it special to you and feel free to personalize it. It is your tool. Another important tool for casting spells is incense. Our sense of smell is very powerful, and certain smells create very potent magical effects. You can use stick or cone incense and buy special granulated kinds from your favorite stores. Specific spells will call for specific scents, and I'll be sure to tell you which ones you will need for every spell. When you are stocking up on supplies, a cauldron is very important. The cauldron is the container in which transformations occur. It is your very own tool for creation. It's also essential if you want to brew potions, which I'm sure you will. Usually cauldrons are made of iron and rest on three legs. They can be hard to find. So if you do have trouble finding one, you can always brew potions on a pot on the stove. Remember, it's the intention that matters when it comes to magic. Candles are a very important piece of practicing magic. Most spells require you to light a candle or candles, or use them to contain energy. You can use any candles you wish, although certain spells will require a specific color. For instance, love spells usually use a pink or red candle, while success spells will use green. Stock up on candles because you will be using them a lot. Herbs and essential oils are also an important part of spell casting and potion making. As you practice more, you will build up your stock of oils and herbs. Please don't expect to gather them all at once. This will happen over time. You will also need a place to practice your magic and a magic altar. We will talk more about this later on. Last but not least is the Book of Shadows. This is your personal book of magic and a record of everything you do. It's a combination of your personal journal and a spell book. Any notebook will do, just as long as you make sure to write in it by hand. A computer file just doesn't work as well as having real pen and paper to use as your book of shadows. I personally prefer a leather-bound journal, but it's up to you. This is just a basic overview of the tools you will need to get started practicing Wicca magic. A word of advice: don't rush out and buy everything at once. I recommend getting these tools as you need them for specific spells and finding the ones that work for you. Now that you have some basic supplies, it's time to talk about how to prepare for casting spells. More specifically, let's talk about setting up your special place for doing magic. Most Wicca practitioners have a special space where they prefer to cast their spells. Some find that their magic is much more effective when it's done outdoors, under the moon or the sun. Others are just fine with a quiet corner of their house where they can focus. It all depends on what's comfortable for you and what makes you feel most powerful. At first, you may want to try a few different things until you figure out what works best for your particular situation. Which tools, location, and techniques make you feel most powerful? When practicing Wicca, the two most common elements that all Wiccans will have are the magic circle and the altar. Let's talk about how to set up your own magic circle and altar. The circle is a powerful Wiccan tool. It's a space where your magic will happen. It's a sacred space that only you can create for yourself. The magic circle has been used by witches and magicians of all cultures. American Indians, Babylonians, and many others have used the magic circle. The magic circle protects the witch from the forces that he or she is raising. It's also used to shut out any energy or forces from outside which will interfere with the ritual. The circle also contains your own personal power while you are working magic, holding and channeling it for your purposes. Essentially, the circle creates the atmosphere for all the magic you will do. It is a sphere of energy that forms the boundaries of your magical space. You will need some kind of way of marking the boundaries of your circle. You can use a long piece of cord, or if you're outdoors, draw a circle of chalk, or use other objects like rocks to mark the outside of your circle. Traditionally, a magic circle is 9 feet in diameter. If you have space constraints, obviously make it as big or as small as you are able to. As you set up your circle, try to feel its energy moving around you. Focus on creating your perfect magical space, the space where you can access your true power. Once you have your circle, it's time to decide what will go inside. The altar is a space where your tools will go. It can be made of anything, but wood is the best choice. Your altar doesn't have to be fancy, and it can grow over time. It can be a cardboard box covered with cloth, 2-cylinder blocks with a board on top, a small coffee table, or even a large flat rock. Traditionally, the altar is set in the center of the circle facing north. But what items will go on your altar, and where should you place them? On the left side of the altar, you can place items such as your crystal, your cauldron, if it will fit, and a silver or white candle. Your broom also goes on the left side, next to the altar. On the right side is a place for your magic wand and your incense. You can be as creative as you wish with your altar. Make it personal and choose items which are both powerful and meaningful to you. In the middle, you can place some flowers if you like, plus all the ingredients you will need for your spell. Don't forget matches for lighting your candles and a place to put the used matches, preferably a bowl or something that has meaning to you. Make sure you have all your spell ingredients ready before you begin, so that you do not have to leave the circle once you have started your ritual. That will draw away your power. The altar is where you will do your spell casting. That's why it's the center of the circle. It's the focal point of your ritual. I can't stress enough how important it is to make your altar a sacred place that is uniquely yours. Again, how you choose to set this up is up to you. There's no right way to set up an altar. All that matters is that you choose items that are magically powerful and that you feel a connection with them. The magic will do the rest. Now let's talk about some techniques and exercises to help you begin raising and channeling your Wicca power. First of all, anyone can cast a powerful magical spell. If you think you're not powerful enough or not magical enough, or if you're still a little skeptical about Wicca, don't worry. You will still be able to perform very effective magic if you follow some simple instructions. There is a very important principle that underlies any magic spells you will perform. Some people call it the secret. Others know it as the law of attraction. But the point is, you will attract what you think about and focus on. That is how powerful your mind is. Magic, using tools and words and spells, just enhances this natural ability that your mind has to attract. Magic lets you powerfully attract what you want, and it works because of the law of attraction. The key here is to make sure that everything you do is in line with your goals. All your thoughts, all your actions, and everything you do should be in agreement with what you are trying to attract. For example, if you are trying a spell to lose weight, then looking in the mirror and saying, "Look how fat I am, I'm never going to lose this weight," is going against your purpose. You must think positive and imagine the reality you wish to achieve with your spell. If you binge on brownies, bonbons, and junk foods, you will also go against your purpose, and your spell is not going to work. Let me repeat this again because it's important. Your spells will not work unless you put your entire being into achieving your goal. Magic without the proper intention is just a bunch of rhyming words. When you do magic, you want it to work for you. So do yourself a favor and make sure that you avoid anything that contradicts or goes against the purpose of your magic, both inside your magic circle and outside your magic circle. Making negative statements will cancel out any positive energy created by your spell. This means that the spell won't work. When you cast a spell, you need to be confident that it will succeed. In fact, the more confident you are, the more successful your spell is likely to be. Try to frame your thoughts and statements positively. I will lose the weight. I can and will achieve my goals. I am eating healthy foods to achieve my goals. I am thin. I am attractive. I am the size I am meant to be. I am powerful and beautiful. When you make positive statements like this, you create positive energy that reinforces your spell and makes it stronger. So make sure you are creating positive energy for your spells, both before, during, and after your spell casting. The next thing you need to know is how to raise energy in order to cast a spell. This is where it starts to get exciting. You'll remember that there are three types of energy: personal energy, earth energy, and divine energy. Each one has its own unique feeling to it, and each one has its own purpose. So I'm going to give you some easy exercises that will teach you how to sense all three forms of energy. First, let's start with your personal energy. If you're able to, in this moment, find a comfortable space to sit and make your breathing long, deep, and slow. Now, obviously, if you're listening to this in a car or a moving vehicle, and you're not in a place to do these exercises, please stop the tape and come back to it when you're in a safe place. But for now, if you are able, find that comfortable place to sit and make your breathing deep, long, and slow. Allow and feel your body relax and your mind get quiet. Now, take your palms and start rubbing them together. Do this for about 20 seconds, starting slowly, and then rubbing the palms faster and faster and faster. Feel your muscles begin to tense up. Feel your palms begin to get warmer. Now stop. Hold your palms about 2 inches apart. Can you feel them tingling? This is the energy that you have built and released, and it's now floating from your hands. Look at that. In just 20 seconds, you have felt and created your very own personal power. And that's just the beginning. If you don't feel it the first time, don't worry. Keep practicing. Don't force yourself to feel it. Simply relax and allow yourself to feel this power. Start by when you rub your palms together, feel the warmth that happens automatically. Ease them apart. Slowly, slowly, not even a full inch, and you'll feel that pressure, that need for them to come back together, and you'll feel eventually that tingling and that heat between them. That is your personal power. Once you have created this energy, you can now try to manipulate it. Using your mind and powers of visualization, give this energy a color. Make it your favorite color. form it into a ball of pulsating energy, and let it move between your hands. Now you can make it bigger or smaller as you choose. Bigger, now smaller, good. You can have it rotate first left, then right, counterclockwise, clockwise. And finally, you can choose to let it return to your body. Simply let it flow back into your palms, into your arms, and be absorbed by your body once again. Feel the heat of it. Once you have practiced with your personal energy, it's time to start sensing your earth energy. For this exercise, find a plant. Any herb, plant, or flowers will work, but it's better if they are still growing, not cut. Now, breathe deeply for a few moments. Relax your body and clear your mind. It's always very important to allow your mind to go and allow your body to relax. Very good. Hold your left palm a few inches above the plant. Focus your awareness on your palm. What do you feel? Is it a dull throbbing, a hum, a wave of heat, or a kind of energy shift in your hand? If you feel something different, then you are feeling the energy of the plant. You can do this exercise with any natural object, stones, crystals, and trees, for example. They all have their own earth energy. And after some practice, you should be able to feel the differences in energy between different objects. For many reasons, it's better to draw energy from the earth and other natural objects when you are performing magic. Using your personal energy is very draining, and enhancing your own power with earth energy makes your spells much more effective. That's why spells will usually contain herbs, and you will use stones and wood and crystals in facilitating your magic. Now that you have learned to feel and manipulate both personal and earth energy, let's talk about the last, the highest form, divine power. This power, as you may guess, comes from the divine. When you perform magic, you are asking the divine to contribute this power to your spell. You may be able to sense this incredible power as you are doing a spell. Divine energy is what makes magic truly magical. Let's take a moment to review what we have learned so far. You have learned the truth about Wicca and magic. You've learned all about the three types of energy and how to tap into them. You've learned exercises to help yourself feel this energy. You've learned about the supplies you'll need to start performing magic, how to set up your magic circle and your altar, and how to focus your thoughts and energies to perform effective magic. Now, you're truly ready to start learning and doing real spells. Get ready, because the next lesson is all about love spells.